Learn the books of the Bible. Learn the Word of God. Hide it in your heart. Hebrews chapter 2. I hope you found it. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. In other words, pay close attention to what you've heard, to the Word of God. Pay close attention that you don't drift away from God. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward. In other words, God's word is always firm. It is steadfast. If we violate it, there is a punishment. And so take heed. Live according to the word. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by those who heard him? God also being witnessed both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and the gifts of the Spirit, according to his own word. It says in verse 1, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We must pay attention to the things that we have heard, to the things that we read in the Word of God. We must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. I want to preach today on this title, The Danger of the Drift. The Danger of the Drift. Let us pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word today. Lord, let us pay the more earnest heed to what your word says today. Let our spiritual ears be open to receive what you want to say to your church. Help us to receive it. Help us to allow it to change our life. Help us to be surrendered to the work of your Spirit today. Lord, that we would not just hear the word, but we would do the word. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. The danger of the drift. The danger of the drift. I've been very proactive and very deliberate about the way that I have been preaching since we've been able to come back to church, since we've been able to have people here, because I am mindful as a pastor the dangers of isolation, the dangers of isolation. And over this year, since the beginning of March, it's been a long year, our connection with Jesus may have been tested. It may have been tested. I believe for many of us, our connection with Jesus has been tested. And why? Why would you say that? Well, for some people, it's been a wonderful time of spiritual growth. They've had a little bit more time to read, a little bit more time to pray. And as they have turned to God, they have tuned in with God. And so during this time of isolation, without being able to be in church and fellowship as much, for some people, it's been a wonderful time of spiritual growth. For some, though, it's been a difficult time. For some, the isolation and the fact that they haven't been able to be in church has seen them go backwards in their walk with God. And it's for those people that I'm reaching to today. It's for those that have drifted that I'm preaching to today. Like the shepherd that goes after the one lost sheep, I want to go after those people that during this time of isolation and during this time of restrictions when we haven't been able to gather, maybe you have found yourself drifting. For some, though, their disciplines haven't changed. They had good spiritual disciplines, yes. And because of their good spiritual disciplines, their prayer life never suffered. Their time in the Word of God never suffered. They're still strong. They're close to God. But there are some that have drifted. And see, some of the reasons why we may drift during times of isolation is because maybe our relationship with God, listen to me carefully, maybe our relationship with God was so centered on coming to church. Now, coming to church is an important part of being a Christian, but coming to church is not it's not the center of your relationship with God. Being a Christian is not just about coming to church. My dad always used to say, if you put a cow in the garage, doesn't make it a car. You put a Christian in a church building, doesn't make them a Christian. Or put a person in the church, it doesn't make them a Christian. And so for a lot of people, the center of their Christian walk has been the fact that they come here. And when they weren't able to come here, their relationship with God has suffered. For some, their relationship with God is about what they do, their ministry. their talents and what they offer the church. And because they haven't been able to use them as much, their relationship with God has suffered. I want to tell you today that your connection with Jesus is so important. We must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We must have a love for Jesus Christ. It must be the thing that drives us, that motivates us. Yes, we go to church. Yes, we use our talents. Yes, we love to be with other Christians and fellowship. But first and foremost, above everything else, is that we must have a relationship with Jesus. You got to know him. In fact, the Bible says in these last days, when we go to that judgment seat, he's either going to say, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you." And what does that mean? God knows about us. He knows the hairs on our head. He knew us when we were formed in our mother's womb. He knows us. He knows us from our mother's womb. But that word, "I never knew you," is a different word. It's the same word they used when they talk about a husband and wife knowing each other and having kids. And Adam knew Eve. It is an intimate knowledge. It is a relationship. And so when Jesus says to those that are going to go into hell, he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." He said, there was never a connection between us. There was never an intimacy between us. I knew about you, you knew about me, but there was never an intimacy. And so I've come to preach today about the importance of our relationship with Jesus and the danger of the drift. You see, the word drift, everyone say drift, it should set off alarm bells to us because it means to float passively, just floating passively. When I think of the word drift, I think of a boat that has been cut loose. The rope has been taken off the moorings and the boat is just drifting off, carried along. How is it carried along? With the currents and the winds, it's just drifting. It's got no control of its destiny. It's lost its ability to chart its own course. It's just drifting with the currents. I can tell you a little bit about drifting because when I was a little bit younger, I was swimming at a beach at a place called Potato Point, which is near Naruma, and we were out there having a good old time. We were swimming, the waves were good, and we were body surfing. We were having a great time, and then before I knew it, some big waves started to roll in, and they were one after another, and suddenly I found myself, I was able to touch, but then suddenly I wasn't able to touch the ground anymore. And I found myself drifting with the rip, getting sucked out. And before I knew it, before the waves used to be behind me, which I could swim in, but now the waves were breaking over there. I was getting sucked out into the ocean in the drift. The danger of the drift, and you know, they say, well, what you do when you get stuck in a drift, you just try to figure out which way the current's going and you swim sideways with the current and you'll get out of it. But you know what? I didn't know which way to go at all. I was just stuck until someone came to get me. You see, the scary thing was I was at the mercy of the drift. I was at the mercy of the current. I had no control over my own destiny. And it wasn't going to take long while I was drifting. I was starting to lose my strength. I was starting to panic. All those sort of things. That is the danger of the drift. One of the brothers in our church, he knows what it's like to drift because he was out fishing once way off the Australian coast in the deep waters and his boat sunk. He drifted for 3 days holding onto an esky. 3 days holding onto an esky in the water until a Danish big shipping vessel came past. He drifted into a shipping channel where they saw him floating, holding onto an esky. You see, drifting is scary. It's a scary thing because you have no control over your destiny. You see, stories like this remind us of the danger of drifting as a Christian, the danger of the drift, spiritual drifting. And there are a lot of Christians that are allowing themselves to just float adrift into the turbulent ocean waters, just floating, drifting away from the rock. Drifting away from the firm ground, drifting away from the steadfastness of God's word. What are they doing? Just drifting away. It doesn't happen overnight. No, it doesn't happen overnight. Slowly, it happens. Unknowingly, it happens. Quietly, it happens. Just drifting, drifting into a place that you never thought you would find yourself. How did I get here? How did I find myself in this situation? The reality is you just drifted there. You see, it only takes just to be a little bit off target, just to drift a little bit off course. If a plane over the course of flying to the US, for instance, it's only got to be such a small distance off course. And the further you go, the further away you get from where you were meant to be going. And so the Word of God is filled with the tragic record of men and women who started well, but they drifted. They drifted. Think about Samson. Think about Saul, pride, and Samson, sensuality, and Solomon. He began to drift and tolerate pagan evil gods, and even Judas. One day he was an apostle, but yes, he drifted. Even Paul. Paul said, I have kept my body in subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself will be a castaway. I got to be careful that I myself, even though as a preacher, that I don't drift. And that applies for me as your pastor. I got to be so careful that I don't begin to drift away. Even though I may be preaching something, I got to be careful I don't drift. The danger of the drift. You see, drifting, how does it happen? Well, it's easy. It's so easy to drift. It's so easy. You know what you do? You do nothing. You do nothing. It's the easiest thing to do. To drift, you just do nothing. And so David prayed. He knew how careful we had to be that we didn't drift. And I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 26, verses 1 to 3. Knowing his propensity to drift, knowing his humanity, David said this, and I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. He said, I have tried to keep your laws. I have tried to keep your laws and have trusted you without wavering. And then David says this, cross-examine me. I love that word. That's why I chose this version. David says, cross-examine me, O Lord. Cross-examine me. Search my heart, O Lord. I don't want to drift. You know, when we come to church, that ought to be our heart's desire. Lord Jesus, I'm coming to your house today. I'm coming to worship you. But as the word comes forth, God, I want you to cross-examine me. We ought to ask God to cross-examine us. What about? Yeah, we'll test my motives. Are my motives right, God? Are my affections right? Have I got my love in the right place? David says, cross-examine me, O Lord, for I have taken your loving kindness and your truth as my ideals. Cross-examine my motives. Cross-examine the reason that I do things. Cross-examine my affections, God, because I don't want to drift off course. Everybody say the danger of the drift. And so Hebrews is a word of exhortation. Our scripture that we read for our text is a word of exhortation. It's encouraging the reader to hold fast to the things which you have heard, to the things which you have read, to the things which you have known. Hold fast. Hold fast to what? Well, Hebrews chapter 2, funny enough, follows Hebrews chapter 1. And the book of Hebrews can be basically summed up in this way. It is about the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. The sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 1 is about everything we need is in Jesus, that he's better than the prophets, he's better than the angels, that Jesus is better than Moses. That's what Hebrews 1 is about. And Hebrews is about the sufficiency of Jesus. So, and then chapter 2 opens with some warnings. So after everything that's been spoken in Hebrews 1 about the sufficiency of Jesus, everything that you have read, be careful. Hold fast to those things. Hold fast to the fact that everything you need is in Jesus. Hold fast to the fact that true life is in Jesus. Hold fast to that unless you begin to drift. And so the writer of Hebrews is writing to Jewish Christians who were being persecuted. Everybody say persecuted. He was encouraging them. He's saying, you've been persecuted, but persevere, remain steadfast, remain faithful, hold fast to the things that you've read and the things that you've heard preached. Even though you're being persecuted, even though you're in difficult times, hold fast. And we are living in a time where this relates to us. I want to tell you that we live in a world that doesn't seem so tolerant against about with everything except Christianity. This world will preach tolerance. They'll tolerate everything except Christianity. And there's a real pushback against being a Christian now. But I've come to encourage somebody today. We need to hold fast to the Word of God. We've got to hold fast to the things that we know, the things we've heard preached, the things that God has revealed to us. Hold fast, because there is a tide in this world. There is a current in this world. And if you're not careful, if you do nothing, you're just going to drift away from God. And so many people I've heard say, "Pastor, I don't know how I ended up where I am. I don't know how I came to be in this situation. I don't know how I became so far from God." I can look at them and say, "You know what? I don't know either. But I know one thing. You just did nothing." In the midst of this world, we're called to preach the gospel. We're called to reach the world. We're called to demonstrate the fruits of the Spirit. We're called to be light. I want to tell this church today, we've got to hold on to truth. We've got to hold fast to the truth. We can't drift. We can't drift away. We can't be swept away with every winds of doctrine. I'm talking about the danger of the drift. And so the writer of Hebrews gives us a warning. In fact, the danger of drifting was the first warning, the first of five warnings that he gives. He says, don't just take the information that you've got just to become smarter about Jesus. Don't just take what this Bible says to just get more knowledge and to become smarter and more intelligent and to be able to argue with non-Christians better. No, don't do that. Don't take everything you've read just to give you knowledge. No, but because of the knowledge that you've got, hold fast to it. You've got to do something with what you know and what you've learned. Otherwise, you will drift. And so it starts with the words, therefore. Everyone say, therefore. Whenever you see the word therefore, you've got to ask yourself, what's it there for? Because the word therefore means it's connecting the previous with what's about to be said. And so it starts with therefore. Therefore, because of Hebrews 1 and because of the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, don't fall asleep. Don't take Jesus for granted. Give heed. Apply your knowledge to your heart and to your life. We are urged to take the message of Jesus Christ seriously. We are urged to take the sufficiency of Christ seriously. And then he says, so you don't drift. So you don't drift. And so why do we drift? Why do Christians drift? You may be asking yourself, Pastor, I know somebody that's drifting. Why do they drift? How did they find themselves where they are? Let me tell you why they drift. It's because there is a current in this world. Everyone say a current. There is a current in this world. There are the ways of the world. There is a current in this world. And if you don't hold fast to the Word of God, you're going to get swept away with the current. The current. The current of popular opinion. What everybody else is doing. What everybody else thinks. The popular opinion. The current of popular opinion. Then there's the current of materialism. Materialism says, you know, we start chasing things and not God. We read it last week. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But what we do is we seek things first. There is a current of materialism. There's a current of selfishness. We live in a selfish generation, more selfishness than people are saying, more selfish and more self-centered than ever before. What's in it for me? The current of finances and chasing money, the political current. There is a current in this world. And if we're not careful, if we're not holding fast to the Word of God, brothers and sisters, this church today that I love and I've been called to shepherd, I want to tell you, if we don't hold fast to this Word, we're going to find ourselves drifting. It doesn't take any effort to drift. In fact, I hear young people say all the time, they say, just chill, man, just chill. You know how to drift? Well, you just start chilling about things. Don't take anything seriously. Don't take the Word of God seriously. Just chill. Just take it easy. And the thing about drifting, it takes no effort. That's why it's so easy. And that's why Christians drift. You don't have to have an affair to ruin your marriage. No. Just do nothing in your marriage. Do I need to say that again? Some people think, oh, well, if I don't go doing anything silly, if If I don't go having an affair and being unfaithful, my marriage will be fine. Well, not always. You want to ruin your marriage? Just do nothing. Just don't pay any attention to it. Just neglect it. Just chill. Do nothing. You'll ruin your marriage. You see, I don't profess to be the healthiest person around, but you don't have to go and eat 20 Big Macs a day to ruin your health. You know what you do to ruin your health? Just do nothing. Just sit around and do nothing. Just let yourself go. Just do nothing. It's so easy to drift. You see, drifting happens when we do nothing, when we neglect the thing that we know to do. And the thing about drifting is you never drift upstream. You always drift downstream. You always go with the current. You always go with the flow. And so I know my message is simple. I'm not a very smart preacher. I've just come to tell you today just one simple thing. We've got to hold fast to the Word of God. We've got to hold fast to our spiritual disciplines. We've got to hold fast to what we hear preached. We've got to hold fast to what we read in this Word. We can't just be a slack generation, just chilled out, doing nothing, because you're going to drift away from God. And one day you're going to say to yourself, I don't know how I ever got here. I don't know how I ever found myself in this situation. I want to tell you how you found yourself there. You allowed yourself to drift. I remember up in the Torres Strait when we were diving on the reef up there getting crayfish. You got to make sure when you throw that anchor over that it's fixed to something. And so when you throw the anchor over, it's just not whoop. And then, okay, all good. Because you know what? If the water's too deep, the anchor's just going to hang. And you know what's going to happen? You're just going to drift. Why? Because it's not anchored into something. And so the first thing, and I used to get to throw the anchor over. I'd get the anchor out. I'd go into the front of the boat and throw it out. And then you stand there and you hold it. You hold it until it catches onto something. And once it catches onto the reef or a rock or something like that, then you know that you're going nowhere. You got to make sure you're anchored into Jesus Christ. You got to make sure you're anchored. And some people, you know what they do? They come to church and they throw their anchor out and they think just because they're coming to church that they're not going to drift. Or they hang around other Christians and they throw their anchor out and they think just because they're hanging around other Christians that they're anchored. But the reality is their anchor is just swinging in the wind. It's just swinging in the current and they're drifting. They thought just because the anchor was out that everything would be fine. But the reality is, the anchor wasn't fixed onto anything. It wasn't fixed on the rock. They had no relationship with Jesus. And that's what's happened over this time of isolation. Some people think, as long as I just keep going to church, as long as I keep watching the live stream, you know what? They drifted away. Why? Because they weren't anchored in Jesus Christ. Anchored into other things, yes, Christian things, Christian music, other Christians and fellowship and church and all those sort of things. And we're doing all these things. But hey, your relationship with Jesus is the most important thing. You got to be anchored. You got to be hooked on to Jesus Christ. Pastor, I'm not going back to anything bad. Don't get me wrong, Pastor. I'm not going to do anything bad. But you know what? Even though they made the decision not going to do anything bad, they actually did nothing. And they ended up a long way away from God. And so maybe God is speaking to somebody today here or online. God is speaking to you. You're not where you ought to be today. And you say, well, Pastor, it's not like I've gone out and done all these bad things. Let me tell you, we've got to anchor ourselves on the Word of God. We've got to make sure we take heed and apply ourselves to what we hear preached and what we hear read. We've got to be anchored in Jesus Christ because we will drift. And so how does drifting happen? Let me just tell you a few things. The first way to drift is neglect your time with God. Neglect your time with God. Don't pray. Don't read the Bible. That's a great recipe for drifting. Don't do anything. Just neglect your time with God. Neglect your relationship. Yes, He loves you. His love for you will never change, but there is no relationship. Psalm chapter 63, verse 1 says, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. If you want to drift, neglect your time with God. You see, the Christian walk is about, 2 Peter 1 verse 5 says, add to your faith virtue, add to your faith knowledge, add. Everyone say add. It's about adding. It's about growing. The second thing, if you want to drift away from God, is begin to hang around with the wrong people. We know this. especially parents, we're so interested in who our kids are hanging around with, because we know if they're hanging around with the wrong people, then their future is going to be affected. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Write it down, young people. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And so your mom and dad may have raised you well, but you start hanging around with the wrong people, your good character is going to be corrupted. You'll become ashamed of your mom and dad. You start hanging around with the wrong people. So listen to mom and dad. When mom and dad say you ought not to be hanging around that person, they got a little bit more wisdom than you. And they're worried that you're going to start to drift. Your grades are going to start to drift south. Your future's going to start to drift. Why? Not because you did anything bad necessarily, but you're just starting to hang around with the wrong people. The next one is desensitize your convictions. Everyone say convictions. One way we desensitize our convictions is by watching sinful things on TV. We can say we don't agree with adultery, but how can we go and watch adultery on TV and call it entertainment? I'm just being really blunt today, aren't I? Sorry, guys. Oh, I don't believe in fornication, but I love to watch it on TV. I love to watch other people do it. You know what that does? It desensitizes your convictions. You see, if I was to go get my great-grandmother and bring her and turn the TV on, she wouldn't even be able to stomach the ads. Because this is what happens. If you get a frog, and I believe in being nice to animals, but my father-in-law used to use this illustration in Sunday school all the time. If you get a frog and throw the frog in boiling water, it will jump straight out. But if you put the frog in the water and heat it up slowly, it will stay in there and die. And see, what's happened is we've been in the water, and the water's been slowly heated up. And now things that we used to hate and things we could never watch, we start accepting them now. Desensitizing our convictions. Psalm 101 verse 3, you ought to underline this one. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Does God care about what we watch? Exactly. Read that. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. Number four, and I'm hurrying up. Fall in love with the world. That's one way to drift away from God. Love not the world, the Bible says, neither the things that are in the world. For if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Number five, here's another one. Probably a very, very important one. If you want to drift away from God, just begin to be a fake Christian. Just put on a show. Draw near to God with your mouth and your lips, but let your heart be far from him. Look the part, say the right things, and you'll drift away. You see, the worst thing about the drift is when you drift from God, you miss God's best for you. The danger of the drift. And so Hebrews 2 tells us, take heed. Apply what you have learned, what you read. Apply it to your life. Take God seriously. Otherwise, you will drift. Paul said, I press. Everyone say, I press. Pressing sounds a lot different to chilling, doesn't it? Paul never said, I'm just chilled. No, he said, I press toward the mark. You see, living for Jesus is not just chilling out and just cruising. No, living for Jesus is a press. You see, this world is going to trying to influence you and get you off track. But if you're going to make it as a Christian, you got to press. You've got to have a deliberate action. You've got to have a deliberate life. You got to say, I choose to live for Jesus. I choose to live according to the word of God. I press. I press. And as I finish now, Revelation chapter 2, we've got to come back to our first love. If you've drifted from God, then come back. Everyone say, come back. Revelation 2 verse 4 and 5, we've got a loving God who waits. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. He's speaking to the church. After giving them all these compliments of great things that they've done, he says, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember from whence thou art fallen, or remember from where you've drifted, and repent and come back and do the first works, or else I will come quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. If you've drifted away from God today, I want to tell you that we've got a loving and gracious and merciful God. We can come back. Amen. We can come back. If the musicians could come, let's go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we read this account of the prodigal son. And the prodigal son walked out. He walked out. Everyone say walked out. He walked out on the father. His heart had begun to drift. He walked out. He said to his dad, he said, give me my inheritance now. And he went and blew it all. The Bible says he wasted his substance on riotous living. He walked out. He spent it all. In Luke 15, verse 16, it says, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. He could almost bring himself to filling his belly with the pig food that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Fain. Everyone say fain. Fain means he came to a place where he was excited, or he even would have loved to have eaten the pig's food. But no man gave him. And that's a picture of the world today. That's what sin will do for you. It will make you do the work, and he did the work. But he didn't even have anything to eat. This world will say, you got to match up to this, you got to match up to that, you got to do this, you got to live this way. And you know what? This world's got nothing to offer you. Nothing to offer you. And it says, he fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. You see, what used to look nasty to him began to look tasty to him. He had drifted. And here it is, Luke 15, verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, everyone say, he said. You know what? The greatest message you will ever hear is the message you preach to yourself. The greatest message you'll ever hear is the message you preach to yourself. And here he is in a pig pen. He's drifted a long way from God. And he begins to preach to himself. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish. He came to himself. He came to himself. He began to preach to himself. He said, you know, all the things that I know, all the things that I've heard, I want to go back to that. I'm lost. I've drifted. I'm in a bad place right now, and I want to go back. He said, self, it's time to go back to the Father's house. It's time to go home. Self, it's time to get my stuff and go back to the altar and get right with God. It's time to get right with the Father again. Self, it's time to change. I'm going back to Jesus. I've drifted away from the rock, but I'm going back to Jesus. It was the prodigal's message that made him get up and get out of the pig pen. It was the message that he preached to himself. And so after drifting so far, he began to make his way down the road to go back to the Father's house. And I want to tell you what he found as he walked down that path. He found the Father was waiting for him. Waiting. The father had been there looking. Where is my son? Where is my son? When is he going to come home? Where is he? Looking down the road day after day after day. Surely one day he's going to come back. And I want to tell you today, if you've drifted from God, I want to tell you, God is waiting for you to come back. That he's a father waiting. He's been waiting. He's using this preacher today to say, it's time to come back into relationship with me. Oh, if you've drifted from God, I want to tell you, it's time to come back. The Father is waiting. We call the story the prodigal son, but really we should have called it the running father, because that's the most beautiful thing about the story. I don't want to focus on a boy that went astray, but I want to focus on the running father who waits for us. Someone once asked me, they said, Pastor, why didn't the father go looking for the son? I was stumped, to tell you the truth. Because in that same chapter, the shepherd went looking for the one sheep. The widow went looking for the one coin. But this story is different. The father waited. I was confused. I was stumped. A good question. You see, the reason why the father didn't go looking for the son is because the son left intentionally. The sheep wandered off accidentally, got distracted. The coin was lost accidentally. But the son said, I'm leaving. I'm leaving intentionally. And Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't come to seek and to save the hiding. He's waiting for you to come back to Him. If you've walked away from Him deliberately, if you've made a choice in your heart, I want to tell you, He's waiting for you to come back. And all you need to do is take one step towards Him. And you will find that we've got a running Father. We've got a loving God who's been waiting all along for you to come back. You see, there is the danger of the drift. The most dangerous thing about the drift is it happens so quietly, so unexpectedly, and it happens so easily. What do? You just do nothing. The danger of the drift. Let's all stand right now. And so I know some of us know where we need to be. No, we're not lost. No. It's not like we've gone and done all these bad things, but we've just allowed ourselves to drift. I want to tell you, the Father awaits. Restoration awaits. Forgiveness awaits. Love awaits. Unconditional love awaits. It's time to come back. Get your anchor back into Jesus Christ. I want to tell you today, get your anchor back into Jesus Christ. The flower may fade, the grass may wither. The Word of God is forever settled in heaven. This world's going to change. Everything is changing, but I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody here this morning, you know, you thought your anchor was in the right place, but it's just been drifting. You got to go there and say, am I anchored in Jesus Christ? Pay attention to your relationship with Jesus, because there is a danger in drifting from God. And as your pastor today, I feel like I'm standing on the edge of a cliff, and I'm preaching a warning to you today. Don't drift away from God. Don't drift. Don't allow yourself to get off course. Pay attention to what you've heard preached. Pay attention to what you read in the Bible. And Hebrews 1, pay attention to the sufficiency of Jesus. His grace is sufficient for you. He's more than enough for you. Jesus is more than enough. You don't have to rely on this world. You don't have to rely on anything else. Put your trust in Jesus. Let us just lift our hands and receive what God is speaking to us right now. To every heart, oh God, we receive it right now. In the name of Jesus. Oh God, that we would come back. Renew our first love, oh God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're waiting. That you're running. As our hearts, oh God, make their way back into relationship with you. Oh yes, Lord, I pray. Let the church hear the clarion call from this pulpit today. Let the church hear your word today. Let us hearken. Let us give. Let us take heed. Let it apply it to our lives. Oh, yes, Jesus. Right now, we got a little bit of time. I got a little bit over time, but right now, this whole place ought to just become a place of prayer right now. I'm encouraging everybody, wherever you are, to kneel down. You can come to this altar if you want. You can kneel, you can sit, but every single one of us ought to just come back and just get our mind right back in the right place and say, Jesus, I want to be in relationship with you. I don't want to drift. Every single one of us, this ought to become a prayer meeting for the next 5 minutes right now. As we worship God, let's search our hearts. Lord, as David said, examine me, oh God. Examine my motives, examine my lifestyle, oh God. Examine my priorities. I don't want to drift away from you, God. I want to be right with you. I want to tell you, as you begin to pray, the Father is running. He's saying, I'm coming back. You're coming to me. You take one step, I'll take two. If you draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. That's the love of God today. Oh, yes, Lord. Let's sing as we pray right now.